Check, check.
And you know, all these guys, they're all married men. They look like teenagers, but they're not. But I came out with this. You don't need much to be happy. You know, society make you think you need all this stuff to make you happy. If there's one thing I love about Off the Grid, it teaches you to be content with quietness and minimum. And you realize, man, I don't need all that stuff. It grieves my heart that Haiti, I mean, it's been celebrating, what, 219 years of freedom, something like that? The chains were broken in their hands, from their hands. But the chains up in their minds is still there. Beautiful country. Corrupted politicians. Corruptions. Corruption kills it. They used to call it the pearls of the island. I still see the pearls. But it grieves my heart to see the people are suffering. So I'm encouraging you to pray for your brothers, for our brothers and sisters there. We have churches that are affiliated with us, Restoration Network International. Most of these guys have jobs. They were able to take off the week I've requested. Most of them could not have been able to afford what we did. As a matter of fact, there's one couple among them, they got married last year, they never had a honeymoon because they couldn't afford a honeymoon. So they said this was their honeymoon. I tell you, I came back encouraged. But I also realized something they're not allowed to happen to them, even if they're living in a place that is so hard. They are not allowed their circumstance to steal their joy. Number one. Number two, fear has no place. Because they said, just imagine if we would be afraid. What else we would do? Now, if I'm in Haiti and I'm afraid, I have options. I've got contacts. I can even charter a small plane to come get me. I mean, I know all of you, if I'd call, I say I'm in danger. Some of you might even call your top friends to come help me. Most people don't have that options. But yet, their joy. Oh, guys. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself. When you think you have it bad, think twice. Think again. When you think life is hard, please think again. True joy comes from being content, really, with what you have. And I know us American, we complain. And I told you, my ears are open. I am open for you. I'm always available to listen to you. But there's one thing you can't do when you come talk to me. It's complain. Because you have no excuse. You have it so well. I mean, I'll listen to your complaining, but you know what I'm going to tell you. I read this yesterday from a quote. It says, the only real prison is fear, and the only real freedom is freedom from fear. Now, let me ask you this today. What are you afraid of? The only prison is fear. Well, there's a song out there that says, fear is a liar. It will stop you from doing what you're supposed to do. Fear brings hopelessness. The moment you start being afraid, even being afraid for the future, because some of us, you're like, you guys remember when life used to be, you never lock up your doors? Remember that? You remember back in the days, it used to be, you know, you shake someone's hands and it was a done deal. You guys remember this? I kind of remember too. And nowadays, you better not do that. Don't trust anybody. The only real freedom is freedom from fear. And I pray today that the Lord will just set you free from whatever fear you have in your heart. Fear for your grandchildren. Fear for America. Fear for Haiti. Fear for the Ukraine. You know, fear for, I don't know, you name it. You know, fear for, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? And I am going to challenge you not to say, oh man, I'm just old. You know what? Pretty soon, I give myself pretty soon, whatever number, pretty soon the Lord will call me home. Man, I feel sorry for this young generation. Don't say that. Oh man, I would hate to grow up in such generation right now. I remember, man, growing up, we had good work ethic. Now everybody wants to, what do they want to do? They want to trade buns. They want to get rich quick. They're looking for opportunities, but they're looking for what? Lottery number. But when we were growing up, they thought us opportunity had no other form than work. You sweat your butt off. You work hard. You work a couple jobs. You know, if you want it, you go work for it. Remember the generation where food stamps? I thank God for food stamps. Because when we moved to America, we were just starting. We didn't have much. So we needed help with two kids. We didn't have Alyssa yet. With two children. And I think, thank God for food stamps. But I tell you, man, there's something in me. I never like food stamps. I go to the store. I'm like, I'm pulling out an EBT. I'm like, no. I sent Kendra. God bless her. You go for milk. Thank God for such system, right? Thank God for such system. I'm not bashing the system. But I'm talking about a generation who lost the self-worth enough to be like, you know what? I'm going to work. So when I go to the store, I pull my wallet out and I'm pulling $100. Guess what? It's $100 that I've worked for to pay for my groceries. But at the same time, I was on food stamps. The system did help me. And the list, I mean, we could make a big list of things when it comes to comparing our generation with, you know, the generations to come or even some of the people now. But I also want to make this statement, even from the Generation Z, not all of them are like that. Because Heidi is not like that. I know my son, Ryan, is not like that. I know Chloe is not like that. And I know Connor is not like that. Amy is not like that. Alyssa is not like that. You see what I'm saying? I know Elijah and their friends, Mercer is not like that. We have young generation, Xavier, those people, they're not like that. We work hard. We respect our elders. Why? Because we live by the fear of God. Listen to what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. You can put it up on the screen, Xavier. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Underline this in your Bible, in your phone, wherever you're reading it. It says, "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avail anything, but faith working through love. What does this mean? This is what it means. At last, my brothers and sisters, we have been free. Listen, you've been free. You are free in Christ. That's why we took communion. That's why Sam didn't come and tell you saying, well, if you're not worthy enough, if you don't do this, don't. That's what religion does to us, right? Don't eat this, don't do that, you know, a bunch of wolves. And who could follow those rules? No one. That's why Jesus came, to break the yoke of slavery in our lives. And it says, it is for freedom that you've been called. So therefore, don't let anybody put a yoke of bondage over you. You know, what is bondage? Bondage actually is the state of being a slave. Just like you are free to eat, you are free not to eat. Just like you're free to smoke, guess what? You're free to quit smoking. You're free to drink a beer, but you are free to say, you know what? Guess what? For 2 months, I'm not drinking a beer. You're free to have some wine. Come on, just relax. But guess what? Wine better not controlling your life. Now, I'm not going to say you're free to smoke a cigarette because it's not good for your health. You're free to eat whatever you need to eat, but it's not good to eat whatever you want to eat. Can I have a witness? This is so true. Huh? It says, at last we have been free. At last we have freedom, for Christ has set us free. Christ has set you free. This is not an Easter Sunday message. It's an everyday message. You've been delivered. I've been delivered. Come on, help me out. Say it. I've been delivered. You have been delivered. You've been delivered from that song we sing earlier. It's a new song. We're learning it, okay? So even our team here, we're learning it. It says, free from burden and bitterness. I mean, even among our pastors in Haiti, one of them didn't come because he's hurt. They're hurting each other. When you deal with people, you're going to hurt each other. And when you hurt, you're going to have a tendency to hurt others. But what do you do when you're mature enough? A mature person, a mature Christian, when you hurt, talk about it. Oh, I can't talk about it. Time doesn't heal. Out of sight does bring the people out of mind. Or the person out of mind. But the moment someone make mention of their name, you feel your blood's boiling. Why? Because time doesn't heal. Jesus heals. So that's why I tell you, whatever you're carrying, Jesus sets us free. We must always cherish the truth and firmly refuse to go back into bondage. Refuse. I refuse to go back into such a wolf that says, don't eat this, don't drink that. Monday is better than Sunday. You remember? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then they sing that and Sunday is the day. There's a song like that, right? Sunday is the day of the Lord. Yeah, it is the day of the Lord. But what they failed to understand that Jesus came to accomplish the law, and he says, guess what? There's no day better to cease striving to earn God's grace. The day to cease striving to earn God's grace is today.
enter the rest. Enter what Christ has done for you on the cross. So therefore, I don't have nothing I can do to earn God's grace. Hallelujah. I just accept what he has done on the cross. You know, knowing Christ forgives you is one. Accepted it is two. The other stumbling block for a lot of people is for them to forgive themselves. And I know some of you you were sitting here listening to Ron last week. God bless you, brother, and thank you so much. And may the Holy Spirit continue to pour in you. And you think, man, how can he be so vulnerable? There's something you might not understand. Jesus met a woman at the well. John chapter 4. Met a woman at the well. And then Jesus says, come on, lady. Would you give me some water? And she's like, come on. Don't you know there's no relationship between Samaritan and Jews? Why are you asking me for water? Jesus goes on saying, well, if only you know who was talking to you, not only you would give me some water, but you would ask me for water that would quench your thirst forever. The living water. He says, if only you knew who I was, that's why we call for Jesus in this place. Because when Jesus is here, when he ministers to your life, you change forever. You see, if the Holy Spirit has room in your life, you will change forever. But if you don't give him room, I can speak in your head for years. Nothing will happen. But the moment you encounter him, guess what's going to happen? Your life will drastically change. I'm a testimony. Recently, Ron is a testimony. Your life is a testimony. Cease striving. And then, what happened? Jesus said, well, why don't you go find me a husband? She said, I don't have any husband. Jesus said, well, you're right. That's about right. Because you've had 1, 2, 3, 4. And the guy you're with is not even your husband. The light came on for her. She said, oh, you must be the Messiah. What a revelation. Her eyes opened up to realize, I am encountering the Messiah. What did she do? She went back to the town and tell what? How vulnerable she got. Well, I pray that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will make you vulnerable. Because whatever you're hiding needs to come to the light. That's why the Bible says, confess your sin to one another. Now, not to everybody. There's wisdom to the one another. There are some people, their chest is kind of, won't hold anything. I'm not talking about those people. There are people that can't hold anything. You know, their ears used to speak it, and no, it's out there. No, find someone in the church, or come talk to me. Come talk to Kendra. Talk to your cell leader, you know. If you're struggling in your marriage, find someone. Talk to them. If you feel like you can't break that chain, talk to somebody. Find accountability. Find a community. Don't do life by yourself. Don't do life by yourself. Vulnerability. One, give us a good example. And the lady in John chapter 4, give us a good example. If you let yourself be circumcised, you are obliged to fulfill every single other law. So Paul is saying right here, don't just try to follow one single law. If you're trying, of course, you know you're going to fall or fail. But if you're trying, you might as well try to obey all of them. So be careful not to miss what God is doing all over the world. I tell you, I came back again with such boldness. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to be afraid. Now remember, the value of a life does not depend on how long it was on this earth. A value of a life is not in its duration, but it's on its donation. How much you're giving, how much you're impacting. Don't try to just live this safe life, but give it to your neighbors. Serve your people, serve your family. Serve your church. Look for ways to serve your church. God puts an ability in you. You see, oh, I can serve right there. Don't wait for me to ask you. Well, I'm giving you an advice. God puts a talent in you. Use it for his glory. John chapter 8, verse 31. Listen to what it says. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, when you continue to embrace, the Passion Translation. He says, when you continue to embrace all I teach, embrace. I want you to picture with me, embrace. Jesus says, as I speak the word, you know what you need to do with it? Embrace it. Embrace it. Just like, yes, this is the word, yes, embrace it. That's what it means. Y'all speak better English than I am, maybe. But I say that to tell you, embrace. Embrace it. When God speaks a word to you, receive it. That's what it means. Hold on tight to it. Receive it. Because that word will save your soul. It says, if you embrace all that I teach, you prove that you are truly my followers. How do you prove you are God's followers? When you embrace, you accept his word. You say, this is what the word says. I'm going to do it. And of course, you accept it. In embracing, you find believing. Because if you don't believe it, you can't accept it. You can't embrace it. All of God's words is our yes and amen. All scripture is God's breath for such purpose, to teach us, to rebuke us, to equip us. For if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom in your life. This is the verse that says, Jesus says, if you receive, the truth will set you free. But it's truth applied that sets you free. Okay, so let's say you have this bottle of, you know, medicine. You know this medicine, the doctor prescribed it for your good, right? And then you went to the pharmacy, you got it, you're holding it, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the doctors. Oh, I got this medicine. This medicine's going to give me resolve with my pain, back pain, whatever pain it is. Well, Lord, thank you. And then every day you're holding this bottle with your hands, you know. Yes, that bottle has the ability to get rid of the back pain. And I know you're all smart people. None of us are that dumb to do that. We know what we do. Yeah, we all know. Read the prescription. Take 2 in the morning, 2 at 12, 2 at night. And we better not miss it. Some of us even set our alarm to remind us. Why? Because we receive the prescription. We believe the prescription has the necessity ingredient to relieve us from the pain. We obey. Jesus says the truth will set you free. This pill will set you free. But it's pill applied. It's medicine taken. Unless you take the medicine, you still find yourself in bondage. And you wonder, how come these people, they've been in church for 20 years and they're still living in sin? They know the truth, but they're not applying the truth. You apply that truth, and I tell you, you'll have a testimony. You apply the truth, then you can testify. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who is in Christ, meaning anyone who knows of Christ, receive the word of Christ. Christ is the truth. Apply the truth in their life. They become a new creation. All things are passed away. I've been born again. Born again. Truth apply. When you're sinning, you're not free. Ah, this is so good. But you guys can read the rest at home. But this is my conclusion and my invitation to you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. It says, do not throw away your confidence,
it will be richly rewarded. Don't throw away your confidence in the Lord. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a while, a little while, he who is coming will come. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for a pure bride. This is no time to shrink back, but it says, my righteous one will live by faith. I think I've heard someone said it today. You don't live by your sight, but what you see. You live by faith. Let us all agree that our world is not getting better. As much as we wish we could have such a good world like it was back in 1992, it's not happening. So this is a time to root yourself in Christ. This is a time to love people. If you're married, love your wife. If you're not married yet, respect your parents. This is a time to be devoted, persevere. That's what it says here. It says, but my righteous one will live by faith and take no pleasure, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back. This is it, guys. But you do not belong to the ones who shrink back. I'm speaking to you. You do not belong to the one that gives up. I'm speaking to you. You do not belong to the one that's just following people. Don't follow people. You know, you hear news out there. You know, this prophet fell, this pastor, you know, this crazy church going on. Please keep your eyes on Christ. You do not belong to the ones who shrink back. And that's the good news. Do you hear the good news? That is the good news. You do not belong to those who shrink back. Let's stand together in the presence of God. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Thank you that we do not belong to the ones who shrink back. No, we do not belong to the ones who shrink back. You know, I spoke the word of God to you today, and you heard it, and I believe the Lord spoke to your heart. You know, if any of you needs to repent, or maybe even come to the Lord, and you know your life is not where it's supposed to be, this is a good time. I invite you. Right, let's just take a couple minutes. Alyssa, come play the piano for me for a minute. Let's just give an answer to God's word this morning. Come to the altar. Whatever you need to do in your heart, let's do that. And we're going to transition to the next room and continue our fellowship. But give an answer to God's word today. You do not belong to the ones who shrink back. It is for freedom that the Lord has called you. And maybe the Lord is revealing in your heart that it is time for you to enter another level in his freedom.